Greetings, adventurers. My name is Zach, and I am the Forge Master of Forge D20. I want to welcome you guys back to our first D&D campaign episode of the year. But before we go ahead and get started, I want to give a special shout out to our Arcanium level sponsor, Negdog Championship Wrestling. Next week on January 25th, they will be hosting their inaugural wrestling event, Music and Mayhem. The event starts at 5 p.m. with a pre-party, and then ends up transitioning to the wrestling show, which I, myself, the Forge Master, will be a part of. Then, after the show ends at 9 p.m., there will be a post-party that you all can attend once you buy tickets. So make sure that you guys go down to the link in the description below where you can use code FORGER at checkout to get 20% off of your purchase. That's right, 1D20% off of your purchase. So make sure you guys go ahead and do that. I will see you guys on January 25th, and let's hop into this episode of Thrones.
Hello, everyone. And welcome back to Forge D20's campaign Thrones. I'm your DM, Hunter, here accompanied by Zach and Parker once again. We're picking up from last session, where we returned to Fendallen after having defeated the orc tribe that was nearby and re-securing the alliance of Hathoron Blackmane. We've returned to Fendallen and are checking in with the folks in preparations for what seems to be a long winter. They are preparing for a potential dragon attack at any moment, with the dragon patrolling its territory and its territory getting ever larger. These people are going to be in great danger. So the heroes have returned. They're going to meet with Aelin Kazarn, I believe. And we're going to pick up from there, where Aelin had just noticed the three heroes having returned. He's not familiar with Hathoron. He's familiar with Daedalus and Alistair, and he turns to the party as they enter his vision, and they gain his attention. Ah, you have returned. And I see you bring a new ally.
Yes.
I'm Aelin Kazarn. What is your name?
Hathoron.
Hathoron. It is a pleasure. Alistair, what took you so long? I thought the two of you would be back in only a few days. It's been almost a fortnight.
Oh, you know. Things happened. We met this guy. And, well, kind of made a deal with him where we had to help him take out the orcs that were nearby. And what we thought would be a couple days turned out to be, like you said, a fortnight. Alistair looks a little tired and stressed from the about 2 weeks of adventuring that they did, and there's a sense of relief kind of on his face as they've arrived back to the town of Fandolin.
Well, delayed or not, it is good that you have returned, and it, in the long run, will be a good thing that you dealt with the orcs. That will be most helpful to us. That was going to be a problem anyway for the men there at the fort of Icespire Peak, but having seen that you three have dealt with them, you have my thanks. I'll see if we can get you some kind of reward together for that, but it may be some time. But I'm glad that you have returned. Have you any news of the dragon? Any sightings that you've noticed?
Daedalus, refresh me if I'm wrong, but I don't think we've seen the dragon in about 2 weeks. But we did see it on the way out of town, correct? I think that's the last time we saw it.
I believe we saw it once more. Potentially, we saw the cloud line moving, but we could not gain sight of it. It was around the time Hathoron had joined us, around the whole Thunderbolt thing.
Yes, that's right. I recall now. Oh, sorry, my memory is a bit jaded after non-stop walking for the last 2 weeks.
Yes, we've been on the move quite a bit, but it is good that we have returned.
Absolutely.
What have you done for preparations, Aelin?
Well, it is good that you've asked. Since you were delayed, I was able to get more than a few things done from that list that we spoke of in preparations for the dragon's return or arrival here at town, if it does indeed attack. You see, I don't know if you noticed, but I have put together a sizable militia here in the town made up of volunteers. We've also begun arrangements of putting up some walls in certain locations to the north, south, and east of the town proper. The west is a project that we are currently working on, but most of the town has been encircled. Other than that, I have spoken with a few of the tradesmen, and they have gone together to upgrade and work on our barracks, as well as arm some of our troops and soldiers. As you can see, he points at a few of the militiamen that are patrolling the city streets. We now have proper uniforms and proper armament for our men. The militia stands at about 15 strong, but it is something. 15 is better than none.
I agree.
And I believe the maester, Harbin Wester, was looking to speak with the three of you. Well, the two of you, but now that Hatheron has joined you, I assume that he will be... Oh my gods, what is that? And he points at Fat Mouse.
You can just disregard him for now. He is a companion of mine, Alistair reluctantly says.
Disregard Fat Mouse. Disregard him. I'm nothing to worry about. Yes, like Master Darkhart says here, and Hatheron and Daedalus, don't mind me. I'm an innocent bystander, simply here held hostage.
You are not here. Oh, you. Alistair just rubs the bridge of his nose out of stress. Fat Mouth, please.
Well, I'm hoping that the goblin won't be a problem here. We do have our history with those here in the town, goblin raids and such. Pardon if anyone stares in the town, and pardon the maester to his reaction. The last time goblins showed up, he was nearly kidnapped by the things. But there are a few things that I'm sure you wish to attend to. If you have the time, I would very much like to introduce some of the militia to you, those available. I do remember, other than the maester looking to speak with you, I believe Nibin told me that the next time I saw you or any of the men saw you, to send you back to his provisions, that he had something to give you.
Okay.
Something important.
All right. Seems like we're going to be busy today. Doing a lot of talking. Well, I guess since we're here already, it wouldn't hurt to meet some of the militiamen that you have recruited. Love to meet them first, and then he turns to Daedalus and Hatheron. Maybe we go speak to Harbin Wester after and hit Nib and Butt Fizzles last?
Daedalus nods.
Hatheron shrugs his shoulders.
He's unlikely to give a damn, really.
Well, since you're ready to meet the men now, then, I don't have everyone available, but I do have a few good soldiers that may be of interest to you, some that could inform you of a few things. Stern! And he calls over to what looks to be an Aarakocra of some kind. He has a mixture of colors, very flamboyant. He has these dark blue feathers with a little bit of orange flakes and kind of a golden crystal effect to them. There's this like shimmer to his feathers, almost like the blue being dark enough, almost like a night sky, almost like he's got starlight mixed into his feathers. And as he turns, the Aarakocra, he's standing there with a half woman. It seems to be half woman, half tabaxi. And the two of them begin to approach over, and he goes, Alistair Darkhart, this is Tora, And this is Stern Stargleam. These are two of the finest members of the militia. Tora is a member of a tribe of Tabaxi from nearby. She is the only survivor of her people. They were killed in the dragon attack on the fort of Icefire Peak. They were nearby, and they suffered its wrath as well. And Stern here could be of some importance. He's a druid. He's a healer. Stern takes a solemn bow. It is a pleasure to meet you. Stern Stargleam, at your service.
Alistair returns the bow.
Nod.
A pleasure to meet you, Stern Stargleam. And Tor, I am so sorry to hear of your loss. I empathize with you in that regard. He kind of like avoids eye contact when he tells her this, clearly traumatized and doesn't like to talk about what happened, but you can definitely see a look of empathy on his face as well.
He nods once again, and then just a slight remark. He can tell she's trying not really to talk about it at this point. It doesn't mean anything. You can leave it be at that. I appreciate your condolences, but I do not wish to speak of this. I want the dragon dead, that is it.
That can be arranged.
Stern kind of inquisitively tilts his head. You're telling me the three of you intend to kill it?
Yes.
Interesting. And how do you plan to do that? The three of you are no doubt capable, but a whole dragon.
Yes, that would be quite the feat. I can understand that. I've had some time to think of how we could kill the dragon. And my thoughts are, all organic beings must sleep, right? And this dragon must have a lair of some kind. Perhaps we catch it most off guard while it is sleeping, surround it as we increase our numbers, and I think the more that we have, the better chance and shot that we have at taking down this dragon.
You see Stern, Tora, and Aelin all kind of think on your words, and Aelin poses a question. A valid point, but how would we know when the dragon is sleeping?
Well, reconnaissance, but I'm not sure anybody here is very good at stealth, no?
Stern kind of turns his head and looks at Tora. Tora knows those mountains better than anyone, even better than Aelin. He stayed in the fort mostly, but Tora, she can maneuver her way across those mountains in no time. You see that Tora's coat as well, this Tabaxi woman, you could see she has a very particular winter coat, like that of a snow leopard, so she would blend in with the environment rather easily. And she notes that, although, well, I'll put it in character, excuse me, it's something that I could do. Tabaxi are, when moving individually, unnoticeable when they want to be. As long as the dragon's not looking for me in particular, I should be fine.
Thing is, if I were to send you out there, I wouldn't want to send you out by yourself. So perhaps we try to look for an additional individual who's a little more proficient in that as well. That way you have someone who has your back.
Let you kind of think for a while. Then they kind of turn to Aelin. Do we know anyone that could achieve this? Stern says. Aelin takes a moment, shakes his head. No, no one that I know. No one that serves the militia. Although, could one of the three of you accomplish such a task?
Alistair strokes his chin for a moment in deep thought, kind of puts some things together, and then he has a look of epiphany on his face that quickly shifts back to something neutral. Yeah, absolutely not.
The goblin could do it.
Fat Mouth.
What?
Alistair looks at Fat Mouth. Perhaps there might be some use of you yet, my friend.
Used? I mean, Fat Mouth is most comfortable here. You know, out of the way.
You would be out of the way. You would be hiding. It would be perfect for you.
Fat Mouth is a good hider. He says, kind of smugly. What am I hiding from?
A wyvern.
A what? A wyvern? Mouth doesn't... I don't know what a wyvern is.
It's like a dragon, but smaller.
You see his eyes get real big. A dragon, you say? You want Fat Mouth to hide from a dragon?
But smaller.
But smaller? I mean, Fat Mouth is smaller. A dragon's a dragon, but Fat Mouth.
Fat Mouth, listen. Tora looks like quite the capable warrior. I feel that you would be in good hands.
He looks over, like over Alistair's shoulder. Because even though he's strapped to Hathron, he's still taller than Alistair almost. If he just lifts his head a little bit, and he looks over at Tora.
You want me to go with her?
Why not?
And what? What are we? We're just gonna go on a walk. Fat Mouth likes walks.
Alistair, yet again, rubbing the bridge of his nose. This goblin is stressing him out. Fat Mouth, I hate to be blunt, but were you listening to anything that we've been talking about?
No. Fat Mouth not listen. You say Fat Mouth not talk, Fat Mouth not listen. If you're listening, Fat Mouth want to talk.
Oh, by the fucking nine. Fat Mouth, do me a favor. Do me a favor, please, Fat Mouth. And listen.
Mm-hmm.
Just listen.
Well, they don't call me Fat Ears. They call me Fat Mouth.
Clearly.
Listening, not my strong suit.
I think we can work on that.
So, Cat Lady and Fat Mouth are going to go near a wyvern.
You did not listen to the conversation. You know I lied to you, right? It's a dragon. This is why listening is important, Fat Mouth. This is a good lesson for you.
Consequences.
Yes, indeed. All actions have consequences, Fat Mouth. You see, he actually is quite the fast learner. I'm quite impressed.
Fat Mouth kind of squints at Alistair for a moment.
Why not send Hathron or Daedalus? They're much stronger than Fat Mouth. Much braver.
They aren't necessarily the most stealthy.
I could kill dragon, certainly. And that
I agree. I agree. I could kill it.
Well, Hathron, if you're feeling, I guess, a little frosty, you could go with them.
Daedalus takes a moment and kind of steps forward. That would be suicide. And we'd be losing, arguably, our greatest assets against the dragon.
I guess you're right.
Fat Mouth goes, of course, me! You'd be losing Fat Mouth!
No, we'd be losing Hathron. We need Hathron for the final engagement whenever we decide to attack it. If we can do as Alistair says and attack it in its sleep, we will need Hathron to strike the first blow. The heaviest of hands. Then the goblin, then Tora. Worst comes to worst, Tora abandons him and the goblin is killed by the dragon. Or the goblin escapes. She seems capable enough on her own.
Now, Fat Mouth, did you hear what he said?
Then Torah alone, Fatmouth says.
Oh, fucking hells.
Strap the goblin to her.
All right. Hathorn, I'm going to untie this goblin from you. And Alistair starts to undo whatever bindings have him wrapped around Hathorn and is going to start tying Fatmouth around Torah.
As soon as you get the bindings off of Fatmouth from Hathorn, Fatmouth tries to dart away. He tries to run immediately.
Alistair is going to immediately try to fucking grapple this guy.
Okay, roll a dexterity or a strength, whichever you prefer. You dexterously roll him up like a pretzel.
A 5.
All right, let's see Fatmouth's dexterity. Let's roll his.
He's going to get out of this.
That's his best stat. So yeah, this is probably... He gets a +6. Or not +6, +4.
Wow. I rolled a 5.
He's got a +4 to that.
So he gets a 9.
That's his best stat. This is the only good stat. That's the only stat that he has.
Son of a bitch.
Fatmouth kind of dexterously rolls out of Alistair's grasp, but as he does so, he runs right under Hathron's legs. Hathorn. Would you like to roll react?
I'm going to fucking grab him. So roll hard.
Straight check.
Oh my goodness.
21.
Oh. Hey.
Oh my god.
As Alistair goes down and tries to sort of like shoot a single leg on Fatmouth kind of rolls through as Alistair's trying to wrap his arms around him. And as he kind of rolls through and goes to run between your legs, and you see the look on his face like, daylight, yes! Out of nowhere, a giant hand just reaches down and grabs him by his throat, and you hear Fatmouth go, and he looks like Bart Simpson is Hathorn. You lift him up to your face, and he's picking.
Should I kill him?
No, don't kill him.
Thank you. You have great reflexes, Hathorn. Great reflexes.
Because you're like, you're gripping harder as he talks.
Tie him around.
The goblin's
Torah,
turning
please.
Fucking purple.
Are you sure we should plague her with his presence?
Torah kind of looks over and she says, yes, really, do you really want him to come with me? I'm likely to leave him out there. And you see Fatmouth's eyes watering up and his head looking like it's about to burst. Daedalus kind of pokes Hathorn on the shoulder and then points at Fatmouth about to explode. His eyes are like bulging out of his head. Maybe loosen up a little bit.
Oh, yes. Not tight enough.
That's all you hear squeaks.
I think I'm going to have to do this. He's going to touch. Alistair is going to touch Fatmouth and cast friends on Fatmouth.
Fatmouth fails any save. He's nearly dead. Hathorn crushed his windpipe. So
Fatmouth, listen. You're going to go with Torah. And you are going to be very nice and respectful, and you're going to listen and only speak when spoken to, and you are going to help her however she asks. Do you understand?
He's still struggling to breathe. He just gives a thumbs up.
All right, Hathorn. Let him go. Well, actually, tie him to Torah so he doesn't fucking run away when the spell is over.
I'll tie like a noose around his neck and hand her the other end.
Oh my god! Jeez.
So now he's on like a leash, but if he tries to run, he's gonna choke himself. So
when you set him on the ground and you have this like noose wrapped around his neck and then you hand the other end to Torah, as soon as you put his feet on the ground, Fatmouth just like face plants right in the ground in front of him. And he's just laying there. You see him breathing, but he's not moving. He's just completely out of it, done, after you crushed his windpipe. He can barely breathe. You just hear occasional little every once in a while. Tora kind of looks at him and she's like, well, I'm going to just go and pack my things then. And I guess I'll be taking this with me. And she starts walking away and she's dragging his lifeless little body with her. It's digging up a run of dirt as he's going through the town. Some people move out of the way. Some people stop and gasp. And Stern just stands there and stares. He looks back at the three of us. Well, you know, I'm going to be quite honest. Your methods are quite shocking, really. Interesting, to say the least. I mean, not quite what I expected in what the stars foretold. You are three strong warriors, but Lady Adabra spoke highly of you, and that was just awful. He shakes his head, and Aelin kind of stares at him for a moment. Although their methods are unorthodox, Stern, I assure you, they are quite capable. I mean, look at just the three of them alone in stature, and one in title. Alistair is the son of the Lord of the Vale. Daedalus is a great warrior. We've seen this. And if they're traveling with him, and they say he is the greatest among them in combat strength, then who are we to judge them for their unorthodox methods? You see Stern kind of inquisitively rubs his lower beak or lower part of his beak. Hey, well, I'm going to assist Tora. If the three of you have time, I will be meeting with Lady Adabra and speaking with her about some things she spoke of, a vision that she had regarding the three of you. She told one of you, I believe, but there's more. But I will take up your time no more. You can find me at Lady Adabra's home later. Stern takes a bow and leaves. Aelin kind of watches as Stern leaves. Forgive Stern. He is apprehensive. There are many disturbances in nature and, more importantly, the stars. Of late. You see, he's connected to them in a way. Lady Adabra and him have been speaking quite often as of late over the last week or so. Speaking of the future and things to come. An ill omen. Perhaps that is what they wish to speak to you about. But nonetheless, I will gather them in when the time comes. And if you wish to speak with them all, you may speak with them all. Stern and Tavar are my greatest two. I would consider them my left and right hands. But if you need anything, ask one of them or ask me. I will go and attend to Tora and see her off.
All right, Aelin. Take care of yourself until the next time I see you.
He nods and gives a little salute to the three of us and then turns away and heads off towards the barracks. Daedalus kind of turns and looks over at Alistair and Hathoron for a moment. I'm not typically a betting man, but I'm going to say this. I don't think Fat Mouth is coming back with her.
I kind of feel bad.
Why would you feel bad?
I treated Fat Mouth.
You hated him.
Well, I know, but I treated Fat Mouth how Shivrat treats me. And I kind of got to thinking about it, and I started feeling a little bad.
Well, she hasn't left yet. You can always go and spare Fat Mouth the trek across the wilderness and potential dragon feast. Or you can let him go and see if he makes it back and proves himself. I'm sure Hathoron is all for a trial to see if he can actually prove himself worthy.
I could just kill him.
No, not going to kill Fat Mouth. I'll let him do his thing, and I'll apologize to him when he comes back. Maybe he'll actually start listening. That would be extremely useful for us I think he could be a good asset. I just feel bad for treating him like that. I didn't almost crush his windpipe. That was Hathron, which, by the way,
my friend... he's talking to Hathron.
Oh. By the way, mighty impressive. I don't think I could pick him up with two of my hands.
Laser Goblin. I could probably crush your windpipe with one hand.
Let's not test that theory out, and I say we go speak with, I forgot his name.
Nibbin?
No. Harbin Wester.
The Maester.
Yes. Yeah. I forgot his title.
Daedalus kind of, fans his arm from left to right and says, "Onwards, then. Lead the way, Alistair."
All right. And turns and starts to trot towards the Maester's home.
As you arrive at the Maester's, I don't want to say domain, but his home inside the village of Findowin, the Maester is currently awaiting us outside. It seems that word that our return has already arrived to him, and he's waiting outside his door. As he sees us approaching, he gives a courteous little nod of greetings, and he approaches us, stepping down his stairs. "Ah, I see you've returned."
"Yes, Meister, we have.
Did you deal with the orcs?"
"Oh, we most definitely did. We most definitely did. He most definitely did," and he points to Hathron.
You killed the orcs at the fisher's village?"
"Yes."
His eyes are wide and he's like looking up at you. He looks really tiny in comparison. You like loom over him. "Yes, a great thanks to you. What is your name?"
"I am Hathron, the Orc Bane."
"Oh, gods, that's terrifying, Hathron Orcsbane. I am Maester Harbin Wester. It is good you're on our side, I think. Right?" And he looks over at Alistair.
"Yes, he is on our side. No need to fret."
His shoulders shrinking. He sighs. "Oh, thank the gods. Okay. Well, as per our agreement, the reward for going in the first place," and he hands you 50 gold, Alistair.
I divide it amongst us by three. Actually, Alistair will take... Alistair will take 16, and you guys can each take 17.
Okay. Split the gold up, put that in your inventories.
Yep. Already done.
In addition, Harbin Wester also gives us a couple of other things. He gives each of us a greater potion of healing.
Ooh. Yes.
And he gives us a potion of speed. Or not potion of speed, I'm sorry, potion of haste. I'm thinking of frickin' Baldur's Gate or whatever. The potion of haste.
I don't see potion of haste.
You want to create it, create it, but it's basically you get a free action.
Oh, there is a potion of speed. It's when you drink this potion, you gain the effects of the haste spell for 1 minute. No concentration required.
Yeah. Okay, so I had it right. I had it backwards, and I was right the first time. Then I changed it to the Baldur's Gate one. Potion of speed is the D&D one, yes. Each of us gets a greater healing potion, a potion of speed, 50, and then our fair share of the 50 gold.
Yep.
So go ahead and add that to your inventories, because that's really good.
Done.
All right, and then after that, the Harbin Wester. Just to summarize, because I don't want to go into too big of a detail with the whole conversation, he just mentions once again that Nibbin's looking to meet with you, and that obviously you can see the preparations that the town has put together.
But in addition, that they have sent an envoy, a messenger to the city of Waterdeep to see if the city themselves can spare a few guards and send them to the town to help them out. There's no guarantee they'll hear anything back, but they did finally send some word out there. Now that they have some sort of organized militia here, maybe they can properly take care of the men from Waterdeep with a barracks and a place to stay. The Maester then mentions that actually, you might have to cut this out a little bit, Zach. I'm sorry. basically, everything's good other than that you just need to go meet with Nibin now that he's looking for you, and anything else that you wish to attend and attend to yourselves. Forgive me. A little bit of a stuttering there. But he looks amongst us and he says he appreciates all the help that he's gotten from us lately. And he gives us another 15 gold in addition, just for the troubles of all the things we've gone through over the last week or so. And he says that we still have free lodging at the Stonehill Inn as well, whenever we need it.
All right. Alistair will divvy up the gold by fives and turns to the group after we bid the Maester farewell. Do you guys mind if after we speak to Nibin, we go see Lady Adabra, like Aelin mentioned? I would like to see, or rather hear, about this ill omen.
Daedalus shrugs. That is fine by me.
You don't even need to come. You could go get drinks at the inn while you wait for me. Doesn't matter. But I just thought I would let you know, I guess.
Well, when the time comes, go seek them out, and Hathrod and I will decide to join you in the moment or not, I suppose.
Absolutely. All right. I say we head to Nibbids now.
All right, so now that you've met with Aelin, you met with the Maester, you're off to Nibin's little emporium of goods. As you make it to Nibin's, and you make it inside, familiar sights all around, you see Nibin is actually already behind the counter. He's speaking with Cornelius Beazlesqueeps. The two of them are just having a small talk conversation when the two of you walk in. Nibin turns and looks at the party. Ah, you've returned. It is good to see you again, my friends.
Likewise, Nibin. Cornelius, it is good to see you as well.
Yes, it is most good that I see you in much better circumstances,
Cornelius says.
Absolutely.
I thank you for saving me. Truly.
Of course, Cornelius. It's no problem at all.
Well, I assume that Aelin gave you the news that I wish to speak with you, yes? Nibin says.
Yes, but I would like to introduce you to our new friend that we've met along the way. This is Hathron Orcsbane. Hathron, this is Nibin Botfizzle and Cornelius Beazlesqueeps.
Nibin floats over on his little pillow and stands in front of you, standing on the pillow. Hathron sticks his small little gnomish hand out.
A pleasure.
I look at him, and I reach out my hand, but I, like, hold a finger out, because his tiny little hand.
He shakes your finger with his tiny little hand.
Ah, you are an orc of culture, I see. This is refreshing.
Yes, and you are a gnome on a pillow.
I am indeed. He is an astute fellow. I see, finally, they've gotten the brains to the operation.
Nibin kind of chuckles to himself.
Indeed. Anyways,
I have news for the three of you. While you were gone, I put some feelers out there, met with a few people, and, well, not met with them. I spoke with them over Sending Stone, really. But met with a few people in the city of Waterdeep and spoke to them about the trials and tribulations of Phindalin and the dragon's presence nearby. There are those that are concerned in the city of Waterdeep and do have care for those here in Phindalin. So I've been given a few little, I guess, inklings of interest that may be important to you. That being said, I have some names. In addition to these names, I have a few gifts and a few points of interest that you maybe want to check out before you have any sort of confrontation with this thing. In addition, I have some gifts from Nomengard. Trade from them has been quite lucrative, and the kings have decided to send you more gifts for your help.
Oh.
Yes.
How kind.
First, and then he pulls up a large sort of, well, not large, but a medium-sized chest. He kind of uses a mage hand to lift the chest up and bring it to the table in front of you. From the kings of Nomengard, he opens up the chest, and inside you see three large sort of, I would say, well, to us, the characters wouldn't know what it is, but us as the people listening and playing the game, three hand grenades. And these hand grenades come with it. They have sort of these little viewing ports like you would see on a ship, each of them having one on each of them. And as you look inside these viewing ports, you can see them just from looking inside the chest. You could see a fusion of energy moving on the inside. In one, you see this fusion of reddish flakes kind of moving around almost in like a lava lamp arrangement. Another one has this glowing radiant light kind of pulsating from within. And the other emanates this eerie green glow. And there's like this fog from the inside. Niven looks and he says, "Allow me to explain. These grenades are infused with a specific magical energy that corresponds to each of them. This magical energy expunges a great amount of explosive force, emanating, I would say, 15 to 20 feet, probably more like 20, from the center of this. Pull the pin, chuck it, and in 3 seconds, big boom. This one here is imbued with necrotic energy," pointing at the green fogged up grenade. He points at the middle one. "This one is imbued with radiant energy, and this one is imbued with fire. Traditional, yes, but is a little bit more potent than a traditional, maybe, fireball. I would say comparable to maybe a level 3 or level 4 or 5 fireball, in my eyes, as versed in magic as I am. I can't quite give a great estimate on these things, but they do seem quite potent from my calculations and observances. But that is from the kings of Nomengard." He steals the he leaves the chest unopened and kind of slides it towards the three of us. "Do with that as you please." "In addition, these come from some of the nobility of Waterdeep that wish to give aid. And in front of us, he lays out a bag. In this bag, you can see two scrolls. One scroll is a scroll of teleportation, with the location being, or well, the return site being Phendalen, the courtyard, the town center of Phendalen. If we are anywhere and we're in grave danger, you can use this teleport scroll, and anybody within, I'd say, 15 feet that you deem an ally can be teleported back to the Phendalen courtyard, or I keep saying courtyard, but town center. In addition, the other scroll is what looks to be, from your readings, Alistair, as you peel this scroll open, you can see this looks to be a scroll of Ray of Sickness. And you can use that to maybe poison the dragon and weaken it.
Well, well. These are quite powerful spells, Niven. You seem to have very powerful allies.
Yes, these are from a noble family within the city. They are indebted to me to an extent. I asked on your behalf if they would be willing to give aid, and if they did so, I would be willing to forgive some of their debts to me. They gave me these two scrolls, but that is not it. There is more.
Oh.
It is convenient you bring this one with you. He looks at Hathron. I'm not trying to assume anything here, but
You look like a barbarian of some form, a savage warrior. I mean, judging by those scars and your great axe I see there.
A fair assessment.
Perhaps you could make use. Perhaps you can make use of these. Give me one moment. Trying to locate it so I can give you the right stats.
By the way, Alistair's going to take the fire grenade.
Okay, good.
And he'll hold on to the scroll of teleportation, and he's going to hand the Ray of Sickness to Daedalus.
Hmm. Very nice. Okay. So, which grenade did Hathron want? Did you want the necrotic or the fire one, Hathron?
I took the fire.
Oh, you took the fire? Well, do you want the radiant or the necrotic, Hathron?
I'll take the necrotic one.
Okay, and then I will take the fire one. And then the scroll, so we have teleportation and the ray of sickness. And then this last one, this is for Hathron. These are, and Niven pulls them out, and he says, let's see if these fit. And he goes, they should. They are magical in property. Your wrist, my good man. And he shows you that he has two bracers, one in each hand.
Hathron slowly, like unsuredly, presents his wrist.
You see these bracers are quite small. They look gnomish in size. And he goes, trust me, they'll fit. And he raises the bracers to your wrist as they get very slowly, but you see them begin to shake and then grow in size. And then he places the bracers to your wrist and they clamp around. These are bracers of defense, my good man. This will give you +2 to your AC as long as you continue to not wear plate armor, scale armor, leather armor, that kind.
Ooh, I won't.
Consider it a gift from the town of Fendalen for your aid.
Thanks.
Of course. Now, on to the next step. And he pulls out something from his pocket. This is a list of a few things that you may find interesting. He hands the list over to you, Alistair. As you open the letter, you see a list of names. You see the name and what looks to be very simple. G-U-G-U. Gugu. And you get an inquisitive look across your face. You see a description of this character and that they are a great warrior located within the city of Waterdeep. They are a champion of some sort of fighters guild or fight club of some form. You see that they are well known in the city and for the right price would be willing to help kill this dragon. Glory matters to them. And this could be important to them to an extent. You also see the name Fastfoot. One agent Fastfoot. Someone who's a description of this man, small in stature, but more than capable than any man of double or triple his size. He's fleet of foot. And he is silent as the night is dark. You see that he is in the city temporarily, but if located, he could be of aid. There is a few in the city that have heard rumblings of his arrival. And he's made a bit of a ruckus in search of someone or something within the town. In addition, you see another name listed. You see one named Belgus the Third. Some sort of ranger that's there in the city as well. What business he has here, they do not know, but he comes from a faraway place. And it seems that he has an expertise in dragons. Perhaps he would be someone of interest to speak with.
Hmm.
It says that he is also there in the city of Waterdeep temporarily. Nibin sees you come across these names. There's a man within that city, a man that is in many different circles. No one enters the city without his knowledge. No one exchanges goods without his knowledge. He knows who and what comes in and out of the city of Waterdeep at any given moment. And these are the three names I was able to get from him.
Hmm.
They could be of aid. So, I would recommend looking into them.
Okay, I will definitely look into them. So we have Agent Fastfoot, some sort of warrior, Belgosto Thurden, Dragon Expert, and Gugu, Negdog Championship Fighting Guild Champion? What is that?
I have no idea. I have never partaken in one of these sort of festivities. But it is quite popular in the city of Waterdeep. He is well known. And it is a pastime that the Waterdavians greatly appreciate. If you can get his allegiance and maybe get him to join us, it would be of great aid. If he's champion of a fighter's guild, then he must be quite strong.
Hmm. Yes. I think these are three allies we could track down to help us kill the dragon. This is a great idea. Thank you, Nibin. I appreciate you and your allies' kindness. It means the world.
Of course. Now, there is one more thing.
Oh, yes.
Surely, you remember hearing about the Dragon Slayer greatsword that was nearby.
Yes.
The one that was used long ago to slay the green dragon that once terrorized these parts of the world. While you were gone, I was able to locate the burial site. There's a hill to the southeast of here. Deep inside this hill is the dragon's bones and the bones of the warrior that died killing it. The great sword is there. There is some sort of burrow that leads into the hollow underneath this hill. You could gain access, and in theory, if you could locate this great sword, I know at least two of you that could wield this, looking at your statures. It is fortunate that you both are here. Now, it's up to you which of you will wield it, but that great sword is quite powerful. It is part of local legend. The great hero that once killed the green dragon that terrorized these parts. That great sword is imbued with magic that makes it particularly effective of dragons of any kind, shape, or color. I think that would be worth your time as well. And he gives you a little map that leads to where the hill is and where you could locate the great sword proper.
Well, Nippin, thank you very much. I think our next work of order will be to go get this sword. What do you say, gentlemen?
Daedalus nods. Yes, it would be a worthy endeavor. Hatheron could wield it, and perhaps if your plan comes to fruition, maybe kill the dragon in one blow, if it's that effective against dragons.
Time will tell.
Nibin kind of looks at the three of us and looks down at his... He looks down at this contraption on his wrist as some sort of work contraption.
Well, if I look at the time, it seems that it's... Oh, it's time for lunch. Well, I won't be missing that, gentlemen. So, with that, I bid you adieu. And I bid you good luck. I do believe that Lady Adabra was looking for you, though. She's been speaking of you quite nonstop since a few days ago when her and Stern had a very heated discussion over something. I do not know what, but she has been looking for you feverishly.
I will go speak to her. Gentlemen, if you're not interested in coming, you can go grab a room for us at the Stonehill Inn and have some drinks, and I will join you in having some drinks once I conclude my business, if you're not interested in coming, of course. That's entirely up to you.
Aelis looks over at Hatheron, and he just kind of waits to see what Hatheron says.
I want to know what she has to say.
Daedalus nods. Looks like we're going with you then.
Let's go, and then we can have a couple drinks and maybe relax for a night after. It's been a fortnight since I've tasted ale. I yearn for it.
You guys make your way back across the town. Make your way to Umbridge Hill, where Lady Adabra's stayings are located, part of the windmill. If you make your way over there, you see that Lady Adabra is sitting with Stern Stargleam within the lounging area at the base of the windmill, her sort of living room. You see her sitting there speaking with Stern, and as you approach the front door, the door is open, and you freely walk in. Lady Adabra looks over. Ah, Stern said that you three would be coming. It is good that you're here, and it is good to see you again. She gets up and gives Daedalus and Alistair an embrace before she stops and looks at Hatheron, and she says, ah, the Orcsbane. It is a pleasure. She gives you a bit of a sort of curtsy.
Hatheron, like, bows his head real quick.
Well, I'm glad the three of you arrived. Come, sit. Stern and I have important things to discuss with you.
Yes, of course. It is a pleasure to see you again, Lady Adabra.
Likewise, Alistair. As the three of you begin to sit down around in this lounging area, Stern greets the three of you, giving each of you a courteous nod. Lady Adabra takes her seat next to Stern. She looks over at the three of you. Stern, I think it's best if you explain a few things first before we give them the news. Stern nods. Well, it is my job to convene with the stars, and how stars and the moon and things of that nature affect and interact with the natural world in this environment. I can deduce things from the stars, how people are affected by the fates, or how the winds and tides of fate and destiny come and go and change things. I'm a part of the Circle of Stars, a druid circle in this part, my father being the head of the circle. You see, I was given a vision not that long ago, and I've come to discover that Lady Adabra also was given a vision. He spoke of this vision to you, Daedalus and Alistair, but I had one of my own. You see, I was studying the stars, and this vision came to me upon my meditations. I saw many different signs that I did not understand, but in the constellations, I saw a raven, a dragon. I saw what looked to be some sort of great weapon of some form, a sword larger than I had seen in my lifetime, a constellation of it, no less. I saw a single star. And this star burned brighter than all the rest. But it was snuffed out quickly. I meditated upon these feelings, these signs. I spoke with Lady Adabra with consultation and things I've seen and heard. I think these signs have to deal with your future?
Our future?
I do not know what they... Yes. They came to me after I heard of your arrival. I had a talk with Lady Adabra, and she can confirm that these feelings, what these visions as well, they are of the three of you and more. I see more things every day, but I was able to deduce that things are coming your way, and they're coming quite rapidly. You will gain allies, you will face new tests, you will gain new weapons, but there's more. Of the three of you specifically, I can see certain things. Very brief glimpses into the fate, into destiny. And I see with the three of you each something different. There's the constellation of the Conqueror. One who would come and scorch all of his foes to nothing, to ash. The Conqueror, in legend, smited his own people. Daedalus kind of turns and looks over at Hathron as he says this. The Conqueror and constellations signifies power. It signifies wrath. And I do not think that symbolizes you, Alistair, and I don't quite think that symbolizes you, Daedalus, so I think this may be speaking to you, Hathron. I see another, as this other constellation. I see the constellation of the Crown. Someone who is born with a higher purpose, someone who is destined to rule, someone that must fill a great void, someone who will have to face great responsibilities and great trials. And I don't think that fits anyone else but the Son of the Lord of the Vale. But curiously enough, when I consulted the stars and I thought of these visions and meditations, and I looked into them and I thought of Daedalus, there was nothing. There were no stars. There was no constellation. I do not know what this means, but that is a first in my lifetime. Anytime I've consulted the stars, the fates, the universe, there's something for everyone. A greater purpose of some form. And maybe this is a sign. Maybe there is something I missed. Maybe this absence is the sign. But it is something to keep in mind. There's a great destiny out there for you, Hathron, Alistair, and even you, Daedalus. And the stars say that allies are coming, that you are not alone. They say that you will be given even more aid and more armaments. But I would be cautious. After Lady Adabra's dream, it seems that this dragon is most formidable. And I wish you luck. You have time, but not as much time as you think. I apologize if my words are vague and there is not a lot of detail. I can only get so much from the stars. I am not as versed of a druid as my father. He's a great man, but he is not here, else I would have consulted him on the matter. So I am alone in these deliberations. So I can only give you what I can deduce from my own cryptic visions.
I understand, Stern. I will say that it's quite interesting that the stars can tell you stories. Quite interesting. I've never heard of the Circle of Stars before. Heard of druid circles, but quite interesting. I will say I'm a little concerned for Daedalus not having a constellation. It makes me fear for his future.
Fern nods. Oh, sorry.
I just hope that it doesn't mean that he's gonna die, right?
Stern's eyes get wide for a second. Well, I'd most certainly hope not. I don't think that's what it means necessarily. Perhaps maybe the stars haven't decided what his constellation is. It may be a first that someone doesn't have one upon consulting them, and that maybe perhaps Daedalus merely hasn't found his place. Maybe the universe is still deciding that.
Oh, okay.
I do not think this means he will die, though. But I would be careful. Nonetheless, you have this feeling. I would be careful.
Naturally.
What do you think, Daedalus? Daedalus kind of just looks over at Stern for a moment. You see him kind of shrug his shoulders for a moment. And he thinks and kind of looks up, looks at the rest of them. Well, Daedalus kind of shrugs. I do not give much thought into mysticism and cryptics, visions, the stars. They are all beyond me. Perhaps their visions mean something, but it means little to me. What I am concerned about is the fact that this confirms you are meant to rule, and this confirms that he is meant to bring his people to heal. Your constellations back your desires, your goals. Perhaps mine is not decided because I haven't found one yet, even though mine is in alliance with the two of yours. This is confirmation that perhaps there is a higher calling for the two of you, and you're on the right path. He will bring his people to heal. And you will get back what was taken from you. Is that not the bright spot in all of this? The silver lining, as they like to say.
I think you're right, Daedalus. I think you're right.
Well, Lady Adabra kind of takes a moment. That was what we needed to share with you. I know it is not much, but these visions do mean something important, and you will find out more as they go, but take these omens and impart them on yourself. You will see signs of them. And just to review, you saw signs of a raven, a large sword, a dragon, and then you heard about your constellations of the Conqueror and the Crown. You got that?
Yep.
Okay. Now, is there anything we need to do before we retire for the evening at the Stonehill Inn?
Drink our asses off.
All right. Well then, we will pick up with that next session. I want to thank everyone for listening, for joining us in another session of Thrones. I really appreciate you all being here. I apologize for the delay on getting one of these episodes done. It's been a minute. We've had a lot of crazy goings-ons in our lives. We're hoping to get back to a regular schedule, maybe get in front of a few episodes, so that way if we have any issues, we have a backlog that we can get into for you guys. And that's on just real life things, you know. Crap happens, you know. It is what it is. Our apologies, though. My condolences, my apologies across the board on that one. But I appreciate you all being here, and I appreciate you two for being here, Parker and Zach. I appreciate getting the opportunity to run this again for you guys and being here with you all. But we'll be back with the next episode of Thrones. Thank you all so much for being here. And I hope you all take it easy.
Take it easy.
Take it easy.